Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, I hope you're getting by on this Thursday, and hope everybody is healthy and okay. The number, as always, to reach out is 312-332-3776. We're here for you, and this is your place to get your voice heard. You can listen on the ESPN Chicago app, at home, on Alexa, on Google Play. Tell them to play ESPN 1000, good old-fashioned radio. We talked to Jeff Passan last hour. He believes that there still will be baseball. He didn't want to really put a percent on it, but he put 69% chance that there will be baseball. But he did say he's feeling more pessimistic today than he was yesterday. So that was the latest on baseball, and if you want to get in on that, 332-3776. Mike Thomas, some of our sales partners and such, got together with Danny and Cap this morning. They put together a list of what they thought will forever be changed because of the pandemic, because of COVID. And forever, as Waddle always points out, guys, is a long time. I mean, sometimes we say, yeah, the handshake is forever changed. I mean, is it? Or as soon as we get the solution for what we're dealing with, we will be back to doing what we've done, even if it's just a year longer from now. And we will shake hands with our brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? We will be shaking hands.
Yeah, I've been someone, though, who's been adamant that even, you know, back in March, I was saying, I do think there's a practical purpose where people may not, it may not just be the default to handshaking. I know Carmen's very adamant that handshakes will go right back to the way they were. But I think if you have a lot of people who would say, you know what? Do I really need to be shaking hands? Or can I basically just give you a nice head nod and, you know, hey, what's up? Like, will that not accomplish the exact same thing that
a
handshake will?
Right. But I mean, this is 40 plus years of habit too, Meller. You know what I mean?
But you don't think that, like, right now what we're going through will in some ways change and ingrain, like, new habits? Because I think I do agree with you. There's certain habits that are not going to, you know, we're going to go right back to the way they were. But I also think from a sanitary standpoint, like, you may say to yourself, do I really need to be shaking people's hands who I don't know them very well, especially like when you're meeting someone. It's like maybe
well,
this.
Then Sylvie, what are you too good for me? You can't shake my hand.
I don't know where
Sylvie's on the radio. Oh, wait, but you don't want to shake my hand. I listen to your show 3 hours a day.
I don't know. I don't know what Sylvie does during his private life.
He
exactly.
Uses the 3.0.
Then I shower.
But okay, so I think that this will be more commonplace. We all know Howie Mandel is a germaphobe. When,
right.
I forget when it was, but Billy Corgan, the lead singer of Smash Pumpkins, came in to the studio. I think you were off, Sylvie. And I went out to the lobby to get him, and I met him, and I went to shake his hand. I said, hey, you know, Adam Dahl, Waddle and Sylvie's producer, thanks for coming in. And he said, sorry, man, germaphobe. And he, like, gave me his elbow and, like, gave me an elbow. And I was like,
he was a man ahead of his time.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that will be more commonplace. The fact that people will just say, I don't think it's going to go away, but I think you will see more people that will say, no, I don't. I just either fist bump or we bump elbows or whatever.
You know,
I think that will be more commonplace than it actually going away completely.
Maybe that's better articulated, is that not, look, it won't go away completely, but maybe it will become more the norm to not handshake than actually handshake.
Look, isn't the hope after all this, and that we finally have found the solution for this, that then it will limit the number of cases ever again? And the one thing about this is, on the other side of this, we will all be cleaner for it, won't we? That we will have better practices cleaning ourselves, cleaning our restaurants, cleaning airplanes, cleaning everything. So won't we be even more hygienic after this? And won't we even be safer going back to the handshake because we're all going to be washing hands better than we've ever washed before?
I would say two parts. Yes, I do think most people will be more hygienic. So yes, I do agree with you there. And yes, handshakes will be safer than they were prior to coronavirus. But I'd also say I also have the thought in my head, do I need to be unnecessarily, you know, touching someone's hand and exposing myself to germs, even though it's safer for the vast majority of people? Do I need to expose myself unnecessarily? Like, I guess, what am I accomplishing
lifetime
with a handshake?
Miller, 5-year bet. By 2023, you will be shaking hands again.
I'm not saying I'll swear off ever shaking hands, but I'm saying the vast majority of people who I'm meeting for the first time, I don't think handshakes are going to go back to, yes, we're going to shake hands. Like, you know, when I'm being introduced to someone for the first time, I think I may be more inclined to just say, hey, how you doing, with a nice head nod.
Mike wrote, our market manager, handshake lines in hockey. It's one of the best traditions. I think that's staying. I don't see any way that that's going away. Like, I watched Brady and Tiger and Manning and Phil this weekend, and they at one time did an air high five, but there were many times they were fist bumping. And I believe when we're back at a Bears game eventually, and there's 60 some thousand people at Soldier Field, while maybe not everybody, there will still be high-fiving with strangers in those games.
Be lubed up, drunk, and giving hugs when the Bears have a defensive touchdown.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to avoid.
I don't know. I think it's easy to sit here in the middle of the pandemic and saying, this is for sure going away. But I don't know what I could safely say right now in my world that I would forever not do again. Like, I'm watching videos, even in the middle of this, while social distancing in stadiums is not going to be allowed. I mean, or where, you know, you can't go into a stadium and you have to, restaurants, we can't go into a restaurant yet. We only can do the outdoors. People are still getting on airplanes and sitting 3x3. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Well, that's also a question of what's practical versus, you know, what
has to be done versus what doesn't
have to be done.
Like, we were talking about the hotel room. Think about that hotel room. Like, and we've always joked about the disgusting nature of the bedspread to begin with. We need to get rid of the bedspread. Anything that isn't taken off the bed from the previous person should not be put on the bed for the next person. You know, we all know that you never sleep on that bedspread. Take that off, the first thing. Like, that should never be, like, why do we need a bed made ever again in a hotel?
I think you're onto something. I think you're going to have to begin to travel with sheets and a bedspread, your own personal.
No,
you're
really?
Not going to want to. You're not going to want to leave it up to the hotel staff. You don't know what they're, you know, what they're going to be changing. I think you start carrying your own duvet cover everywhere you go on travel trips.
Abdallah, what are you swearing off? I'm not willing to say anything yet. I'm not willing to swear anything off yet.
I've debated, you know, just stuff that I do on a daily basis. Like, I don't carry a lot of cash. I don't carry any cash on me, but using cash, like Danny gave me cash the other day, and I was like, "Can you just quick pay me, dude?" Like, what?
It's easier to begin with.
Now I got to go to an ATM. And just thinking about that, like going to an ATM or going to the store and like using the buttons to like put in your PIN at the ATM, whether you're
gas
getting cash
stations, you
or
you're putting that.
Well, yeah, I know gas stations. Well, like I use gloves when I go to the gas station.
Yeah, so do I.
Like,
I've been a glove guy, and I've always got a sanitizing wipe with me.
I also think that we are going to be. I'm someone that you guys drive in every day because you come from the suburbs. I ride public transportation. I don't right now because, and luckily, my wife's been driving me and picking me up every day. She's great. 4.5 stars. A little heavy on the brake, but she's been nice enough to drive me and pick me up every day to work. But eventually she's going to go back to work and I'm going to have, and she's going to take our car. We have one car. We only need one car. And I'm going to have to take the train again. And I don't see a situation where I'm not going to wear a mask on the train. Like, the train is crowded. It's gross. There's so many people on it at any given time. And like, we know, like, I can pretty much get by without touching stuff. Like, I can lean on, I know you're not supposed to lean on the doors, but whatever, I'm leaning on the doors, stop me. But just being that close to people during rush hour is something that I don't think I can do again without wearing
mass
a mask.
Transit, right?
Yeah,
the mass
yeah.
Transit. I grew up a huge CTA guy. I took the trains to Cubs games since I was, you know, a kid by myself since I was 12. And, I remember, Abdallah, remember that one day I got on, like, the Metra? No, yeah. I took the CTA in, like, at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, you took it from Evanston, didn't you?
Yeah, no, from Skokie.
Oh, from, yeah, the Swift. The Skokie Swift.
And then the red line's right outside. And then now I'm like, well, why did I do that?
What the hell were you thinking?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But again, like, eventually it'll be safer too. But even still, like, there'll probably be people that wear masks from now on public transportation. And, like, I see people now getting in and out of Ubers where the Uber driver and the person aren't wearing a mask. It's like, what life roller coaster are you riding, sir, without a seatbelt?
Well, there are the certain no mask people who just don't believe in the mask.
Oh, well, my wife is very, like, now she'll wear it, but she does not like it. And she has been working from home, so she's very, and I do all the grocery shopping, so I'm the one in stores. I'm like, listen, you better get used to it, because if you walk into any store without the and you want to do some type of public protest, you're doing your own personal walk of shame throughout the entire store, because you're telling people, look, it's I don't care about you, because, you know, this is I don't want to wear the mask. And Abdallah just mentioned the roller coaster. What are your thoughts, Sylvia, on Six
That's
Flags?
Huge. That's really big.
Because my wife is trying to get me on board, you know, heading out to theme parks at some point
this
year.
No.
And later in the summer, she's like, what do you think about this? I'm like, you're crazy. I have no intention of going.
This was a big summer for the Silvermans, guys. I mean, I grew up with a season pass to Great America. Same when way. We were in high yeah. school, we would get the season pass to Great America.
Because it was so convenient. I'm from Libertyville, Sylvia. I'm right down the street from Great America. You got a pool pass, you got a Great America pass, because you go three times in a week and you paid for.
Yeah, well, I thought it was twice. You go twice, you've made your money back on the season pass, haven't you?
Look, you're 17 years old and it's 4:30 in the afternoon. You're like, what else am I going to do? Let's go shoot up to Great America for a few hours. So then you got the pass. Big deal, you know, and you're riding roller coasters. And I love roller coasters. I'm a roller coaster geek. I finally have kids now who are getting tall enough. My oldest, both kids are now tall enough to ride the Demon. They're
nice.
42 inches.
No more Whizzer for them.
Well, the Whizzer's still good. I still like the Whizzer.
Solid, but once you graduate to the real coasters, you never go back.
But the Demon, but they're still not tall enough for the Eagle. They're not tall enough for Raging Bull. They're not tall enough for Goliath. And I've never ridden Goliath. Like, this was a big summer for me. I was looking forward to taking them. We got the season pass for the whole crew, everything. And now what? Like, really? Like, think about what area of any life is more, are you spreading more stuff than when one rides in a roller coaster?
No. Well, you're absolutely right.
Well, even sweat from your hands.
How about pools?
Spit from your mouth. Well, pools of chlorine. Think about, you're gripping that roller coaster handle for the life of you. You're holding on for life. So
they're going to wipe it down, though. Don't worry.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when you go to pools. So if you think about the railing of getting in and out of the pool. Think about, you know, when you're going to the, like, using the restrooms, when you're, you know, walking through the locker rooms, when you're going to the concession stands. I'm talking, like, water parks in general and, you know, bigger.
Think about the back sweat in a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
It's 89 degrees. The humidity's 92%. You're riding the Eagle. One fat guy gets in, the next guy gets out. And then you hop in that same car right after he rode it, gripping that same handle, sitting in that same sweaty seat. Someone may have puked on that thing three rides ago.
You're right.
How are they going to do that?
But even if you can wrap your head around taking those extra risks, you said 89 degrees in the middle of summer. Do you want to be wearing a mask all day long at a theme park?
No.
Like, it's listen, I can put the mask on when I go to a store. I'm in and out, and, you know, if it's a grocery store, half an hour. But then I get in the car, and I can't wait to rip it off so I can breathe again. I don't want to go to, you know, to Great America in 90-degree heat.
Well, you know what's going to affect me the most is concerts. Like, I can't imagine.
I don't think a concert's that bad.
Have you been to the Metro when it's sold out and it's sweaty during a punk show?
You get pushed around everywhere? Yeah, you can't do that.
I mean, you've got a capacity crowd to see whatever punk band or show there is, and it's all of a sudden the people in the back are like, you know what would be a good spot to see this concert from? The front. And they all charge the front. Like,
yeah,
and everyone's pushing and moving around. Like, it's going to be tough. And then they're going to probably want you to wear, you know, regardless of the touching, venues might still want you to wear masks the entire time.
So Carmen got offended when, like, I'm not a movie guy to begin with. The only thing that I'm close to just saying that I'm done with, that I don't think there's any reason for me anymore to go to a movie theater. Just to sit in those same seats, to eat expensive food, to overpay for a movie. I'm on my own timeline that I'm already 6 months behind. And I think they're going to find a way to get us the movies at home now quicker because of all this. So what are some of the things that you think will be gone forever? And forever's a long time. Or that you're willing to swear off because of this. 332-3776. And I know some people want to talk about baseball. We'll take all your calls coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie. On ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Will be extinct after this, if anything. I mean, I'll do most of the things that I've done before this, after this. But Kevin weighs in, who's a big listener. He says, are you serious? Have you been to a gym? Ton of sweaty people. Also, the virus doesn't spread through sweat. But there's a lot of sharing of equipment. It'll be interesting to see what how gyms handle all this going forward. 312-332-3776.
And I think it's not about just the sweat. It's when you exert extra activity in your body, you're huffing and you're puffing, and there's more likely to be droplets coming out of your mouth, yes. Which is really what you're concerned about.
Yeah. Doug's in Wheaton. Doug, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, Sylvie, all the best to you, my man. I'm thinking about you.
Thank you, Doug.
Hey, the thing I think is going to go away is food buffets.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I just don't see a lot of people heading out to the food troughs in the future.
That's a lot of people have said that. Waddle talked about the even the hot bars at the grocery store, the soup. Haven't we had videos, guys, for like a Waddle's World,
yeah.
Where people are like drinking out of a ladle to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, and pretty much every store or any place that has those hot meals available, those have been shut down since mid-March in most places. So you have to imagine they're not coming back anytime soon, right?
So what if your friend has a big birthday party, all right? Let's say it's Abdallah's 40th. How old are you, Abdallah? 36?
Five.
So all right, we're 5 years from now, we're coming up to the big 4-0 for Adam Abdallah. He's got a big cake. And he blows out 41 candles.
Hell no. 40. Oh, you can't blow out candles?
You're not blowing out candles anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what Mike and I were talking about. You will never eat, like, some sort of a communal cake again where some random dude blew out candles, right? Even if it's a friend of yours?
Dude, I'm just thinking, remember how many times... I mean, listen, we have great event broadcasts where we'll be out, hobnobbing with a lot of listeners and fans and just talking to them. And in the past, you'll just be talking and someone might accidentally spit on you. Not because they're, you know how it is, Sylvie, like you're talking to a fan or a listener and all of a sudden a little bit of saliva comes out. And, you just kind of wipe it off and go about your day and pretend like it didn't happen, trying to be courteous to someone. And the reality is now that's going to take on a whole new life of its own.
The one good thing, like one of the silver linings out of this is, you know me with the close talker. You know, Seinfeld came up with the whole close talker thing where I am a man who has his boundaries. I don't like feeling like I'm an umpire and that there's a manager coming up to me with his nose right on my nose. Like, I feel like there should always be that buffer room. And like I've always talked about, there's one employee that we have at the radio station who's a gregarious guy. Not an ill bone in him, but he loves to get up in your grill and he's passionate and he talks. Like, I hope now that there will be no more gentle reminders on this, that the days of him talking in your grill are done. That the close talker days are done.
I think we have to you have to let them know now. Be like, hey, you're Bobby Coxing me here. Can you step back a little bit? Because I think Bobby Cox holds the record for most times ejected from a game. I think
yeah.
Say, hey, you're take Bobby it easy, Bobby Cox. Step back a little bit here. A little social distancing.
John in Aurora. Hey, Johnny.
How you doing?
We're good.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to bring up a couple things regarding the differences in baseball. First of all, you know, free agents, teams will spend more money on free agents when times are going good, and they'll cut back when times aren't so good or if a team doesn't make the playoffs. But the even bigger factor is that hasn't been discussed is, you know, the players turn down the owners wanting to share revenue. And it's not just this year that they turn it down. They turn it down in years past because they don't want to do what the NFL and the NBA are doing.
Yeah, I understand that, John, but I don't agree with you about the free agency. I don't believe that when times are good and baseball's making money that they're willing to spend. I think we've seen over the last 5 years the practices of free agency has become totally restrictive against the player, where the prime years have been shrunk to the point where now the money that used to go to players who are 30 and it may be smart are going away. I think teams spend less money now on free agency than they have ever had. Jake Arrieta is a good example of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now it's not just, so it's been stacked against players for a long time. Their first 6 years of service time are, you know, at the club's will, and they don't hit free agency until they have 6 full years. But we've also seen here locally, Chris Bryant and plenty of other good players have their service time manipulated, so they actually get basically 7 full years from the player if they do it correctly. And thus, Sylvie, as you just pointed out, when they finally do hit, you know, the age 30 for their free agency or whenever it happens to be for that particular player, good franchises don't want to pay players who are in the decline stage. That makes good sense. But at the same time, if they've been suppressed in their service time, they don't see the, you know, the benefits of the rewards of actually when they're at their peak. They're not being compensated the way they should because of previous collectively bargained agreements. And so, you know, what's a player supposed to do at this point? Oh, now they say, oh, you know what? You're one of the few players who actually did hit free agency and were paid a lucrative sum of money. Oh, but by the way, times are tough. We want you to give back a whole bunch of money right now because we're not going to make as much money as we thought.
They also won't take the 50-50 revenue split because baseball owners haven't ever opened their books to show what the actual profits are.
Right.
And Scott Boras, you know, sent out this email today to his clients and to baseball players and basically went through it and said, I'll read you a quote from it. Owners are asking for more salary cuts to bail them out of the investment decisions that they've made. If this was just about baseball, playing games would give the owners enough money to pay the players their full prorated salaries and run the baseball organization. The owners' current problem is as a result of the money they borrowed when they purchased the franchises, renovated their stadiums, or developed land around their ballparks, rickets, I added that part. This type of financing is allowed and encouraged by MLB because it has resulted in significant franchise valuations. Owners now want players to take additional pay cuts to help them pay these loans. So basically, they're going to say, okay, well, after we pay our loans, then you guys can share the profits, when it should be, here's the profits, you take 50%, and then we'll use the rest to pay our loans.
Javi's in Rochelle. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Javi.
Hey, how's it going? I think that, if I just make an observation, the owners, you know, there's a reason that they're billionaires, right? They've got this business sense. And I think that they used their business sense to engineer a situation where, you know, they offered a revenue split to the players, and the players came out looking like the bad guys for simply asking for what's owed them.
Mm-hmm.
The owners engineered a situation where the players look like they care more about their money than actually playing. I think the owners did that on purpose. I think they made the players look bad. They use I think the players don't have that same business sense. They shouldn't have reacted right away. They should have taken a second to put together a statement of thinking about what they were going to say, but instead, some of the big names reacted and kind of said things without thinking. So that's all I got.
Spot on, Javi. Spot on. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, you're spot on. I mean, like, what they come out, they go, hey, we have tough times. Let's share. And then everyone's like, oh, that sounds good. And then you've got a gamer, you know, who's on there saying, I got to get mine. I got to get my money. And that looks terrible optically with what's going on currently. But again, it shouldn't be on the player to make up for what the owners are losing out on now. That is the that's the essence of being an owner with the risk that they take to begin with. So we'll take more of your calls, 312-332-3776. Adam Amin is going to join us. He announced that he is leaving ESPN. What's on the horizon for him? He's going to join us 4 o'clock to talk some baseball. The Bulls are opening up their building as well, coming up as well. So Waddle's World is coming up next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
And Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/find us, member FDIC.
Because the weirdness, like they're yelling, just it reminds me of stuff that we chant and yell.
Yes. Weird.
Weird. Well, that's one of Waddle's favorite words, too, by the way.
Weird.
Yeah, that's the way he always says it. Weird.
All right, since we are inside Waddle's World, let me tell you that NFL tables proposal for the onside kick alternative, but they do approve other rule changes.
Not really anything of note, though, right, Meller?
You are correct, Sylvie. So the owners have tabled the proposal for the alternative, which was the 4th and 15 play that we spent plenty of time discussing over the last few weeks. But they have approved tested expanded use of video replay in the preseason. Whether or not we have a preseason, we will find out. The owners also increased the number of players who may be designated for return from injured reserve during a season from 2 to 3.
It's so dumb. I just put an injured reserve. Let them. I don't understand why there can't be an injured reserve where you spend a minimum of 4 weeks. And you could bring as many back as possible. No one's going to stash players. You monitor that, but you let players come back because it's a physical sport.
It would seem to make sense to me. And they have also passed a rulemaking permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul and any successful or unsuccessful extra points. So that's very minimal, it seems, when you kind of lay it out.
I think the biggest thing is what you mentioned about, and we could get into this later with Adam Amin and then afterwards take some calls. The biggest thing, in my opinion, was no, the onside, the 4th and 15 onside kick obviously did not pass, but there is no, and John Perry, who is the rules official, former NFL official for ESPN, there is no now safety net regarding pass interference. That even though last year didn't work the way they wanted it to work, there is no way where there's an egregious mistake for that thing to get corrected on a game day. We could have the same situation happen all over again.
Yeah, and that sucked. Although last year's remedy didn't work out very well either.
It didn't, and that's why they took it away. But what would you rather have? Have it with, you know, where at least it's in, where it's not perfect, but at least you have it?
Yes. No. How about this? I'd like them to recognize that when a Rams defender blows up a Saints wide receiver in the NFC title game, they're smart enough to figure out how to make it work, how to throw the pass interference call. You're right, Sylvie. There's no reason, just because last year was bad, there's no reason they shouldn't have a better fix than, okay, let's just do away with it altogether.
They should, like, each team. I'll give you, bring this up later. I just came up with an idea.
I'm making a note to bring this up later.
I'm going to pitch this to the NFL owners in the 4 o'clock hour. Write that down so I don't forget it, because I'm forgetful these days.
NFL owner pitch.
Yes. Safety net.
Got a little bullet point.
Going
to
pitch a tent for them.
All right. And hopefully a new rule as well.
Yes.
Soccer news. The English Premier League has set a restart date on June 17th. Abdal and I are very happy about that, so we can finish up our fantasy football season. The Italian government has approved Serie A to return on June 20th. So the Italian Soccer League as well has a return date set.
That's awesome.
In June. The Boston Marathon was canceled for the first time ever. In its 124-year history, organizers instead will hold a virtual event in which participants who verify that they ran 26.2 miles on their own will receive their finisher's medal. The race had originally been scheduled for April 20th before being postponed for 5 months because of coronavirus pandemic, but they have now since officially canceled it.
Okay.
We talked about last segment, Scott Boras's email saying, don't bail out the owners. He's sending that to his clients and a lot of players, player reps, who so that they can circulate it amongst the players' union. As he said, they want to bail out. These billionaires want the money for free. No bank would do that. Banks demand loans be repaid with interest. Players should be entitled to do the same. So that is Scott Boras's message to a lot of his clients and the players' union. Alex Ovechkin and David Pastrnak are among season award winners in the NHL.
So they're handing out the awards, even though, well, I guess the regular season is over. They're going to have this the play-in tournament is what they're going to do.
They are, 24 full teams, but they are handing out the hardware. They have Ovechkin and Pastrnak shared the Rocket Richard Trophy for the most goals. Leon Draisaitl wins the Art Ross Trophy for the most points in the season, and the Bruins are the President's Trophy winners as the top team in the league.
Right, but that's because Bettman said everything now is official. Everything goes into the books officially the way it ended the day that they closed up shop.
Correct. Gardner Minshew is ready to prove he's a starting quarterback. The Jags
better be,
I guess he doesn't have a choice, right? The Jags traded Nick Foles, as we know, to our Bears. But they did not use a high draft pick on a QB and decided not to pursue Cam Newton this offseason, leaving Minshew as the unquestioned starter. Quote, I told Jags GM Dave Caldwell, do what you think's best for this team. I believe that I'm going to give us the best chance to win no matter what, Minshew said. I've just got to prove that every day, and I'm excited for the opportunity to be able to prove that. Do you think he's
Minshew
ready, Sylvie?
Minshew or Mitch?
Oh, Minshew. Are you kidding me?
No, I think I'd take Mitch.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Have you watched football?
I have.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not sold on Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, but the ceiling is so much higher. I know what Mitch can do. This is Mitch.
I don't know what the ceiling on Minshew is.
Did you go on vacation and become a truther?
Minshew
Mania? What happened to you?
Just because the guy's got a sweet mustache, I'm supposed to believe he's a franchise quarterback?
That's what I was thinking.
Right? I mean, a year from now, we'll make fun of the Minshew Mania.
It's a cute mustache on social media. That's awesome. He likes to wear jorts.
There's a huge difference between franchise quarterback and better than Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky yesterday in Chris Sims' rankings was ranked 38th out of 40 quarterbacks. There's not even 38 quarterbacks in the league. There can only be 32 starting quarterbacks. My point is this. Being a franchise quarterback is different than being from Mitch. I would take 40 quarterbacks before Mitch. That's the point. Is Gardner Minshew better than Trubisky?
People love to fall in love with the shiny new toy. And that's what Gardner Minshew and his mustache are.
You don't think he's better than Trubisky?
We'll see what happens next Christmas when there's a new toy and a new mustache.
All right, Cap.
How about this one? You have to bet $100. You have to bet $100. And you either have to take Mitch Trubisky 80 yards away from the goal line with the Bears line, play calling, and weapons, and you have to score a touchdown, or you need Tom Brady to par a 450-yard hole.
I'm going with Mitch.
You're taking Mitch over Tom Brady on the golf course.
But that's only because I think Mitch is more comfortable playing football than Tom is playing golf, based on what I saw.
Is he?
I don't know. Neither is a great option. What are you betting on, Sylvie? You betting on Tom to make par?
I mean, he did hole out on
that one.
All of a sudden, he got challenged by Barkley. The next thing you know... No, I would probably bet on Mitch, too.
Yeah, I know we like to rag on Mitch, but at the same time.
No, I would bet on what is the more likely scenario? Tom Brady to hit a golf ball into a hole from, like, several yards out, or Mitch Trubisky to hit an open receiver from several yards out? I'll take Tom Brady putting it in the hole.
No.
See, you'd rather take a dude to put a ball in a tiny hole or a guy who...
Yeah, because Mitch's biggest weakness was the wide-open wide receiver.
But you won't take Gardner Minshew over him as your starting quarterback? Are you kidding me?
The John Deere Classic has been canceled. The PGA Tour seeks replacement event. The John Deere Classic is canceling what would have been its 50th straight anniversary as a PGA Tour event, citing too many hurdles to overcome from the coronavirus pandemic. The PGA Tour is trying to replace the John Deere for this year only, and there's some consideration to having an event at TPC Sawgrass.
Okay.
Sabres star Jack Eichel is fed up with the team's consistent losing.
Ooh.
The Sabres have missed the playoffs for 9 straight seasons, and the 23-year-old Eichel voiced his frustration Thursday. I'm fed up with losing, and I'm fed up, and I'm frustrated, said Eichel, who was drafted 2nd overall by the Sabres in 2015. He was in the same draft class as Connor McDavid. You know, it's definitely not an easy pill to swallow right now. It's been a tough couple of months. It's been a tough 5 years with where things have gone. I'm sure Mark Jean Greco will have thoughts on this.
Yeah,
at
is there a way for the Blackhawks, a team that could use... more talent to find a way to grab a Jack Eichel?
I would love it. That would be very nice, but I'm not sure that the Sabres are just going to let him go, so they'd probably have to trade quite a bit to get him.
Gentlemen, we're in phase 3. How about that?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
This Illinois? Is in Chicago, right?
Well,
this
Illinois,
is
what
Lori... Not quite.
Well, Illinois will begin phase 3 tomorrow, May 29th, but Chicago will have to wait 5 days until June 3rd. I don't know why, but Mayor Lightfoot has said so. And what phase 3 means is phase 3 will be small businesses, includes office-based jobs, hotels, childcare facilities, restaurants and coffee shops can allow outdoor dining, personal services like barbershops, salons, and get this, David Kaplan, tattoo parlors can also reopen with certain measures in place. So get a haircut and get inked up.
Cap was the last tattoo in the state of Illinois before the quarantine.
And he could be the first tattoo in the state of Illinois.
You should do that. You're right.
After the quarantine.
It should just say phase 3 on his...
all in phase 3.
All in phase. All in for phase.
And then he could get one for phase 4, too, when that finally comes around.
All the phases just listed on his arm.
Check.
Phase 1, phase 2,
check.
Phase 3, phase 4.
Check.
Take that. All right, let's get to the weird stuff coming up next, Sylvie.
Okay, good. Sounds good.
Yeah, we come back, a dude broke into an AMC theater and a jogger got caught pooping.
Nice, and I have research affirming that saying the F word, Sylvie, might actually help take the pain away.
Thank you.
We'll do that next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right. A man broke into an AMC theater and ate snacks for days. A guy in Mobile, Alabama, Roll Tide, took advantage of a pandemic closure, not only for shelter, but also for food. Police officers say they found 33-year-old Rafe Mitchell lying down in one of the theaters at the AMC in West Mobile.
Junior mints all over his
They
face.
Found him Tuesday morning, but they said he'd been inside the theater for days. Investigators say Mitchell ate several bags of theater snacks and also drank several bottled beverages. They charged him with burglary in the third degree. Roll Tide.
I guess, everything's just like it was before the shutdown, right?
Do you think he tried to figure out how to work the projector and, tried to watch a movie?
That's a union job.
I think that's tougher. Maybe what about popping some corn? Do you think he started to get the kettle going?
A little popcorn?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, how lazy was he? Because, that's a little bit of work, whereas he just has any boxed candy at his disposal, basically.
Are you guys big movie theater people? Because that's been the big debate on the show today. Because Carmen thinks that I
definitely used to be a bigger one when I was, a teenager. I think that's the sweet spot for going to the theater when you're a teenager. But I've definitely, this, Sylvie. Obviously, once you have small children, everything, it seems like you can never go again until they hit, the age of 3 or 4. And then it's, do you really want to go and take them to the theater when you're just going to be watching some type of cartoon anyway?
Right.
I'm more of a hipster movie guy when it comes to movies. I go to the Music Box when up in Lakeview. If you live in the city, you're familiar with the Music Box. It's an old-timey movie theater. But what they do is when a big movie comes out, they'll bring in a bigger screen and they'll play it in 70 millimeter, which is how most movies are shot. So like they did that for Dunkirk. They did that for The Joker. They do it for some older movies. But I usually do it for like if a newer movie comes out.
Because
it's how the director wants you to see it, which is super nerdy to say. But it is. And that's what I only usually go to the movies for that. Otherwise, I can, because I'm not a big comic book movie guy, so I don't really care about seeing those movies in the theaters.
It's funny because during Crosstalk, Carmen was talking about how just the experience and the sound and kind of what Abdallah is talking about, shot in 70 millimeters, how that's like the experience. I find myself going to theaters and asking why the sound is turned so far up.
And really? Like, I feel like back in the day it was louder. I feel like it always should be loud.
Listen, it really depends on what theater you're going to. I know certain ones are, you know, have it piped in louder than others. But I know on several occasions my wife has asked me, believe it or not, to go talk to one of the movie attendants and ask them if the sound could be turned down. Believe it or not.
Wow, that's incredible.
And that's a conversation I don't like having because my wife gets mad at me because I don't want to go make this request because I think it sounds absurd. I'm like, you're just going to have to live with it for 2 hours if the sound's a little loud. But she's like, it's too loud. It's overpowering.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I don't think you could make that call when you go to the theater.
Like, do you know how, so usually what I'll do is I'll just walk out of the theater, pretend like I'm having a conversation and not actually have the conversation because I don't want to be laughed at by some 19-year-old who's like, you want me to do what?
Yeah. My wife,
it's a little loud for her. She'd like you to turn down the...
By the way, it's a little cool in here. Can you turn the heat up?
All right. Research affirms that saying the F word might help take the pain away.
Of course it does.
Dropping F bombs can possibly help increase a person's pain threshold. Research has shown, and according to a follow-up pain management experiment, using made-up swear words doesn't quite garner the same results. So fudge probably is not the same effect. The original 2009 experiment suggested that swearing under the right circumstances can increase a person's pain threshold. To test the theory, Richard Stevens, a British psychologist from Keele University, conducted an experiment in which people immersed their hand in ice-cold water. The act of cursing enabled them to withstand more pain, the findings suggested. The simple act of swearing during the experiment enabled participants to perceive decreased pain and tolerate increased pain, Science Alert had reported.
I don't disagree with any of that.
While putting their hand in ice water, the testing subjects repeated one of the four words every 3 seconds, the F word, a neutral word, and two made-up swear words such as fouch and twiz pipe, according to the researchers. The F word was linked to a 32% increase in pain threshold and a 33% in pain tolerance. The made-up words had no beneficial impact.
Now, do you really think, though, that all this time and effort should have been put into a study like this? It seems to be. We got a lot going on in the world today where we could use all hands on deck, and we're researching whether or not saying the F word really helps pain. I don't know if that's...
In their defense, it was a follow-up to an original 2009 experiment, but yes, maybe it could have been put on hold until after coronavirus. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
But, okay. Yes, I see your point. But also, like, I don't want language specialists trying to find a cure or a vaccine. Like, there are doctors that are trained to find vaccines.
All hands
and that's
on
what they're...
deck.
No,
they're smart people too.
I don't need astrologers and astronomy majors and all this kind of stuff trying to find a cure. No, focus on getting us to Mars. That you do your job and let the doctors do their job.
Okay.
Don't try to don't bring more people into this.
Fudge you, Abdallah.
I don't need more all hands on deck. I don't need that. I need the right hands on deck. Jogger caught on camera taking a poop in a community garden.
Why is this such a big thing? Why do joggers, why are you out for a jog and you all of a sudden realize that you have to go and you can't hold it so you poop in someone's yard?
An Australian jogger redefined morning constitutional after publicly, in a Melbourne community garden is captured on a security cam. Indeed, the disgusting 50-second clip shows the crude runner setting down his drink before nonchalantly dropping his trousers, crouching and relieving himself in the neighborhood green space.
This had to be like some sort of a beef he was settling.
The tweet. Well, I mean, it was a community garden, so it's not. Oh, it wasn't someone's yard. Yeah.
Okay.
The tweeter found this impromptu fertilization particularly heinous, as the poo perpetrator didn't wash his hands, and there was a public toilet across the road. I probably wouldn't use that public toilet right now, though.
All right.
Yes, the public toilet is.
Mellor wants to move on from this real quick.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Sylvie. So, if you
feel... I mean, the gas station toilet right now is really at the lowest level it's ever been.
Well, see, and that's why, like, talking to my wife, who's a teacher, and trying to get kids back into school, it's not that it's not having kids and trying to find ways to space out kids and all that kind of stuff. It's young kids having to go to the bathroom and then cleaning after them. Yeah. And how you're going to be able to have all the in the lunchroom and the tables and all the communal areas that children share in schools and in amusement parks is, and in pools. That's the biggest issue. It all comes down to poop, guys.
Last one for you. Man breaks into California bank to heat up some Hot Pockets. San Diego, California. In just about every case of bank break-in, the responsible parties are typically after money inside. But this was not the case at a San Diego Wells Fargo. A man accused of shattering a window to get in the bank branch wanted to use the microwave. The man was taken into custody after surveillance cameras showed him breaking in and heating up Hot Pockets to eat. Was it worth it? A reporter on the scene asked the man as he was led to waiting police cruiser. Was it worth it?
Yeah, it was worth it.
A Hot Pocket. Hell yeah. The man who told reporters he is homeless said he ate two of the microwavable turnovers while inside the bank.
You know this, guys. I told you this for a while. There was a day when the Hot Pocket was my dinner. And I'm not talking about in college. This is like 7 years ago. Like, just, I mean, probably a little longer than that, just before I met my wife. This is probably a decade ago where the lean pocket probably something that I consumed 2 to 3 times a week.
Not going to judge. Hot Pockets got it done. Yeah. I'm not going to judge, silly.
Adam Amin is going to join us, one of the great voices in play-by-play. Will join us to talk some football and baseball and whatever else is on his mind. That's coming up in 2 minutes.